Table Talk with Rookie's Family, the podcast where a wonderfully happy family gets along each and every day for our podcast, and everybody's smiling and having fun.
Ha ha ha.
Let's just put up a farce. It's okay. No, it's not that bad. Everybody is present except Mr. Matthews out in Boston, working hard and playing hard too, I guess. Table Talk with Rookie's Family. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, however you're listening to us. I love the fact that you have found us, and hopefully you'll be able to tell others about us as well. Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi. Okay. What's going on this this podcast, this episode?
Silence. Well, I have some proud mom and dad news. Both of our college graduates are gainfully employed as of Friday.
Woohoo!
And yes, I did cry when I found out the news of that I'll let McLaren share.
Okay, so Friday I went in for an interview, and this was my second interview this week, and I kind of was just getting stressed out about the job hunt and how school starts very shortly, a little less than about a month, and I still had no job. So I went in for this interview. I was kind of nervous about it just because who knows what to expect. I did the interview. It went great. I felt really good about it after. And I get home, you know, do the, oh, yeah, it felt good. Let's hope I get the job. That afternoon, I got a phone call. We were all sitting in the living room talking. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it's the principal that I had the interview with. And so I stepped out to the other room. And right away, he goes, can I make your weekend? And I go running out to the other room. And I'm like, yes, trying to signal to them I got the job. And mom's sitting there already crying. And she's whispering to me, who is it? Which one? Who is it? Because I had, like I said, I had another interview. And she's like, which one? And I'm trying to talk to the principal. And like, yes, I accept. I want the job. And mom's just sitting there like, which one? Which one? So it was exciting, and I'm excited for everything that's to come. So,
I don't think he said what the job was.
Oh, yeah. It's a first grade position at Benjamin E. Mays in St. Paul. So I'm really excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Really. Yeah, you know, you kind of shed a little bit. It was dusty in the room when you came back in for me. I wasn't crying, of course. I'm very hard-nosed and... but that was, you are to be congratulated because you did work hard. And even though I thought you were going to be a nurse, I think you made the right decision to become a teacher.
Don't open that can of worms.
But we're really proud that you have made it. And I cannot wait. I wish I could be a little mouse each and every day in that classroom. Because those kids are going to love you. Uh-huh. They're going to love you.
I'm so glad no one is in the classroom with me.
I might be.
Yeah. We're already joking. I'm not even going to have to do anything to set up my classroom. Mom's going to be like, so let me tell you how your classroom is going to be decorated.
I can see that for sure right away.
It's going to be pretty hard because Matthew will be moving into his actual apartment in Boston, and McLaren will have a classroom. So I'm going to have to be like decorating an apartment in another state, decorating a classroom.
Dear God.
It's like your dream come true.
Yeah.
Wow, it's going to be busy, but both of you guys have worked hard, and now we're happy that you're going to be employed and working toward goals, and you're growing up. That's the part that's the love-hate. You're growing up,
scary.
And you don't need us as much. I mean, Matthew's just basically bailed on us and checks in every once in a while. you're busier than a one-armed paper hanger with school, and it's just it's a fun time.
Still got a good amount of time with me.
We do, thank God.
And I think we're going to need...
I was just going to say. And we need it. You have some shaping to do.
Ooh, that's rough.
I like to teach McLaren what it's like to be teaching a first grader.
Except the difference is I can push you around, but I can't push students around.
You can't push me around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. When's the last time that you've like actually pushed me?
Oh,
7:30 this morning.
Yeah.
What?
I mean,
she has not touched me today, or yesterday.
Okay.
Well, I think you guys are at a point in your life where you're just nonstop on each other, and it just absolutely drives you crazy. All right. It's all part of family life, though.
I have a little article about a millennial in the workplace, kind of going along, since McLaren does fall into the tail end of millennial.
Yes.
So anyway, hopefully McLaren has been taught better than this child was.
Are we saying, millennials are...
The title of this is Millennial Writer Cries at Work, Puts Her Mother on Speakerphone After an Editor Corrects Her Spelling.
Ooh.
So,
she's a writer?
Yes, yeah, she's a writer. And it says, how does a boss manage a worker who believes their feelings trump reality, right down to the way she feels about her misspelled words? So the writer of this article, she happened to overhear what transpired between the editor and this young writer. And she says that the young writer is probably in her late 20s. And in the office, it's an open office, so she was going over edits with her editor. And they were arguing over the word hamster, H-A-M-S-T-E-R, according to the editor. Mm-hmm. The girl, however, disagrees. And she spells hamster, H-A-M-P-S-T-E-R.
Like a hamster. It's hamster.
Right, right. What? And her boss is trying to explain to her that it's not actually how the word is spelled. And maybe we could access dictionary.com so I could show you. And the girl got very upset by this.
Which is what I just did right now. Went to dictionary.com.
Right, right. She was offended that the woman would suggest that she would have to do this. So the boss remained very calm, and she said, let's forget about this, and let's go over the other edits in your article, which that upset her even more.
Wow.
But the boss remained cool and calm and hoped it would rub off on the young woman, which, of course, it didn't. And eventually the boss got up and left the table and went to her office. And the young girl got up, went to a table in the community space, slammed all her stuff down, and proceeded to start texting someone. The someone was her mother. And the mother, of course, called her, in which the girl puts her on speakerphone.
Oh, boy.
So the entire office can now hear what's going on. And the mother tells her that the boss is an idiot, and she doesn't have to listen to her, and she should go to the boss's boss and file a complaint about not allowing creativity in her writing.
What?
This reminds me of someone in the family.
Yes, I know. And the young woman says, I thought what I wrote was perfect, and she just made all these changes, and they had the nerve to tell me I was spelling words wrong when I know they are right because that's how I have always spelled them. Misspelled words are creative. Sophia?
Oh, wait. I wasn't even thinking about me. That key aspect does. I don't like using the letter Y. I like using I-E.
Which just makes you sound stupid. After you've been preaching to us the weekend how you want to sound more professional.
No, you don't know. I like to spell it like that because when you are writing on loose leaf, it all lines up versus the Y has a little tail that hangs down and it drives me insane.
So then how do you use a G?
But this woman sounds like McLaren calling mom and complaining about and being like, I want to talk to the boss's boss.
I wouldn't do that to the boss, though, and put mom on speaker. I'll call and complain to mom, but I wouldn't do that in front of someone.
She would lash out in the whole lobby and freak out.
I don't know about that.
Clearly you don't know me in a workspace.
She is the queen of lashing out at little things or when she's
corrected.
Yeah,
you are.
More importantly, this gal that wrote this, how many times in her life has she written about a hamster? That's the way I've done it all my life.
Yeah. Well, that is true.
Often.
Well, it goes on to say that this is the generation participation trophy.
Yeah.
So they were always told that everything they did was great, nothing is wrong. Mm. And it says the saddest part of this tale is that no one ever loved this young woman enough to provide her with the guidance and discipline everyone needs to cope in the actual real world.
Why did the mom tell her that that's not how you spell it?
Because she was just doing exactly what mom just said in that last sentence.
You know what? She clearly did not attend visitation and go through their English program to know anything about being ripped apart for your writing.
Well, that's the whole thing, is that when you coddle that child and don't ever say no or make him feel, oh, you're the greatest, and that kid is going to end up like that. That child is going to end up like that. And then entering the workforce. You know, this is a kid that probably took tests that said, how do you feel? Not A, B, C, or D. And this, I think this doesn't reflect all millennials, but it reflects quite a large amount.
And the author goes on to say, like, I hope this is unique to a creative liberal arts degree as opposed to, like, say, if you became a doctor or something like that. If it felt right for you, that's what you, how you should treat your patients.
Remove the spleen. Well, I've always done it this way. Yes. It doesn't matter what the real way is supposed to do.
Right.
I get told no about 1,000 times a day.
Right.
But you keep
asking
the same question.
As it should be.
The same question. What's that question, Dad?
Are we going to get a dog?
No.
Yes.
We can't talk about that.
Not yet.
Yes.
Wait, that has been a source of debate, and you unfairly accuse me of not wanting a dog. Mm. I love dogs.
Don't even get us started, Dad.
I love dogs, but I just don't want one right now.
You do, though.
I just don't want one right
now. We found the cutest dog, just a little update, and it just, everyone was on board except one person in the family.
We're not getting one.
And actually, only the people that matter that are here in this room.
I am saying this.
You don't not have a say.
And I don't want a dog right now. Listen.
Mom, you told us that we could get that dog, and Dad said no.
So let me speak. Yesterday, we started our day. Sorry to tell you this, Matthew. Maybe you don't know what we did yesterday. But we missed you and Haley because we did our traditional float down the Cannon River.
Sweet.
Yeah, so we did that, and we pull up in front of our house after we had been gone all day, and we got a text from my sister inviting us to go to her club and swim. So we hopped right back in the car and went and did that, had dinner, came home about 8 o'clock last night, and I said, you guys, if we had a dog, we could not have done this.
Right.
Nope.
But we could have.
We couldn't have.
Yes, we could have.
You
can't leave a dog alone that long.
I would have gladly stayed home from the pool to stay home with the little nugget that McLaren showed us.
See, dogs ripping the
family
apart.
If it was a puppy, we couldn't have done the river either, just so you know.
The puppy isn't ready yet because he's still a little puppy, so we have some time.
Maybe we should put a poll on Instagram and seeing if people will let us get the dog or not.
Yes.
I did that. People wanted us to have the dog.
On the family podcast page.
How is this even a topic? This was nowhere in our outline.
There were three people that didn't want us
because
to have the dog
need
on my
help.
Instagram thing.
I was one of them.
Mom, Matthew, and Haley.
Mom,
Matthew and Haley aren't here. They're
Mom is just playing like, oh my gosh, I don't want the dog.
She does do that.
I don't want a massive amount of listeners to determine whether we get a dog.
I do.
Here's the funny thing.
Out.
When me and McLaren like emailed the breeders, Mom's like, okay, we need to think this through, and she gets into like planning mode for getting the dog.
That's not true.
But before that, she's like, I'm never getting a dog in a week.
She goes, yeah, make sure that we can go down and pick them up. We don't want to fly the dog back. So just tell the breeder we can meet them at the airport or we can meet them anywhere. So
you
clearly,
did say that. Clearly you want it and you're just denying.
No,
she does.
We want a dog. We just don't want the dog now.
We'll post a picture of the puppy that we're looking at.
Vote on our poll.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Dad.
All right, let's do this because this is, since we're talking about, since we're doing some fast talking here, this story is pretty incredible and it's fun and it's probably something they're going to make a movie out of.
Just say it.
Nathan Peterson and his brother Christian, they were just chilling at Coors Field during a Colorado Rockies game a few weeks ago when Nathan decided to try his hand at the speed pitch challenge where they, you know, you throw a baseball and they got the clock on you and they time out. Well, the right-hander hit a nice 96-mile-per-hour toss.
Wow.
Which caught the eye of some of the Major League Baseball teams. Turns out his hand was worthy of an MLB contract. The Oakland A's signed the 23-year-old to a minor league contract on Thursday. Let me scroll ahead here. They found that he hit 96 on the radar gun in line with some of the Major League's fastest pitchers last August. He's now with the AAA affiliate. He told MLB.com the number surprised him since he had not thrown for a few years before that. He played high school baseball but didn't really have a good arm then, he said. It inspired him to work toward the dream of pitching, but in December, He was hit by a car and had surgery on his left wrist. It didn't stop him from returning to the sport, and he trained with former A's pitcher Jared Parker in Nashville. In January, he shared a video on Twitter 2 weeks before the cast was due to come off showing his progress. What a story. I don't know what his future is right now. He's still, you know, rehabbing. But how about that? He didn't throw forever. Picks up the ball, tosses 96 miles an hour, then has that unfortunate incident. I don't know if he's still getting paid from the AAA contract, if that's guaranteed money or not. But just one of those stories where up and down, and probably Hollywood's waiting for the movie rights on that one.
I thought about using that story as one of my stories today.
Did you?
Yeah, because Barstool posted that.
Yes, I saw the story the other day. I saw the video and whatnot. And I will say, he did hit sort of running start to get to hit 96. Like,
oh,
from a standstill, I don't think he'd be able to hit that number. But I also was, honestly, I was a little skeptical if this was like a PR thing.
A juiced up gun?
No, like...
That the A's?
They said, hey, like, we're going to sign you or whatever, but let's, like, get some publicity. Come into the, hey, we found this random kid that can throw hard. Where they, I don't know if they, like, already knew about him, and they said, just come and throw in this radar gun for fun. I don't know. The whole thing was, like, I was a little skeptical of it, honestly.
I could kind of see that because, well, maybe someone videotaped it and put it online, but also, like, how did that catch the eye of, like, a baseball team?
Because if he's throwing 96 for fun, they'd be like, oh, we can work with this guy.
Yeah, I know, but, like, how did they find out about it?
They all have social media.
But
either
also,
way, like, cool story, but I don't know.
Well, you're making me very skeptical now that I just thought it was an innocent story, and now with all this intricate... plays, I think maybe it could be just a big PR stunt. But regardless, I guess it's happy.
Still cool.
Right.
Yeah, still cool.
All right,
well, good luck to him in his future.
I have some random things that have been sold on eBay that I thought were kind of interesting. I have five of them. Okay, the first one is a right to name a baby.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously?
What?
Yep, that sold for $6,800.
What was the name?
Murgatroyd.
They didn't say the name.
What?
But a woman had started, an auction. Her name was like Lavoni Drummond.
Yeah.
So she got
nice.
The mother got the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else got to name her baby.
Yep.
Would you?
Why would you pay $6,000 for that?
Would you mess with them though, or would you pick out a name or like go
Murgatroyd?
Like, whatever.
I don't know.
Tissue box.
Right. When they named that Coast Guard ship, they did the. They outsourced it, and they want the winning name was the Bodie McBoatface.
I do remember that.
Bodie McBoatface.
They let the public decide the name for like this new giant Coast Guard ship, and the winning name was Bodie McBoatface.
That's really funny.
And so they ended up having they said no, we're not naming it that. And so they named they had like a smaller like submarine vessel on it that they ended up naming it Bodie McBoatface.
Dang.
But it backfired on them.
But I guess there's probably no legal obligation to actually go ahead and name your child that name.
You can switch it.
Yeah.
Well, and if you paid the $6,000. How long does it? Does it 6 months, 6 years, or do they have to check in every year and say, "Yep, it's still the name"? So
we
you
were
keep
offered $500 for naming rights to our eldest child.
It was a normal name too.
What was
it
the
wasn't
name?
McLaren.
Mary.
Mary.
Change her name to Mary for $500.
Then I could have been like the rest of the family and have normal names.
I love your name.
Yeah, you have a good name. Mary, yes. Where's Mary?
Mercedes.
Change it to Mary.
Yeah, you.
All right, number two, a human liver. That bid was $5.7 million before being shut down.
Yes, because that is illegal.
That's a health concern.
Yep.
Livers don't go for that much. You couldn't get more than $100,000 for a liver.
It says $5.7 million.
The thing is, if you donate, you can. A liver regenerates itself. So, like, if someone needed, say, Gabe needed a liver and Dad was a match, well, then let's pick someone
my
up.
Liver.
Yeah. Let's take some. Dad might not have much liver left. Let's take someone like Sophia.
Yeah,
they could take a little piece of Sophia's liver and put it in Gabe, and that regenerates.
I'd probably take Sophia's liver.
Yeah.
No, I'm willing to
give
you
the healthiest
bit of
the family.
I am help
I don't think you have
left
much
corner here down here. That's probably pretty good.
Okay, number three, Justin Timberlake's half-eaten French toast.
No.
The toast was sold for $1,025 in 2000.
It's just going to mold.
When the
yeah,
singer,
what are you going to do with it?
So he left it behind at a New York radio station.
And they auctioned.
So they used it as a ploy.
And a DJ came in and saw that it was his toast.
Whose was it?
Justin Timberlake. This was in the 2000s, so he was pretty popular.
Oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
So these are, other than the liver one, these are legitimate items that have been sold on eBay. The other one you said were shut down, but okay.
Yep. Next one, a grilled cheese sandwich with the face of the Virgin Mary.
I've seen that one.
Yep, that was sold for $28,000 in 2004. A Dorito shaped like the Pope's hat.
Seen that one.
That was sold for...
Shaped like the Pope's hat.
That's nothing. That's just
pretty much like a triangle.
That was sold for $1,209 in 2005.
Hey, Matthew, by the way, last night we watched Angels and Demons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Love that.
That was a pretty good show. I was really nervous after coming back from the Da Vinci Code, which I really liked. I thought, how are they going to duplicate this and its force? But it was pretty flowing, and I enjoyed it.
Those are probably one of my favorite like series or whatever.
Yeah, is it Dan Brown?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that was good.
Sorry, continue, Fee.
Okay, last one. It's kind of gross. Britney Spears bubble gum. That sold for $14,000.
Wow.
Why?
The fact
that somebody has $14,000 to buy chewed bubble gum is just disgusting.
It was sold to a millennial that can't spell hamster.
Exactly. Or bubble gum.
Yes. Yes. I can't believe that people buy that stuff.
I know, right?
All right, well, excuse me.
Oh,
mine is probably the most interesting out of all of these. A water park in China has something called a malfunction on its wave making machine.
Oh yeah.
And
oh.
It created a tsunami wave that injured 44 people.
I did see that.
I saw that on the news.
Oh, I saw that too.
It's unconfirmed. People that recorded the video thought that the operator was drunk and turned it up to maximum level for fun. But the water park said that it was an electrical malfunction that turned
Seriously?
It down.
I did see that. I didn't hear that part of the story.
Yeah, I heard that they thought the operator was drunk and then that he wasn't paying attention to what was actually going on and something got bumped.
Why is there a tsunami wave feature?
Yeah, why is it?
Why do
they That's what I was thinking is why did they have it go so high where it can like injure
Drown
and like
people.
Kill people.
I never even realized there would be an operator for that. I always thought it was just computer run and the same thing happened over until it was time to recycle.
Yeah.
Right. And there wouldn't be 1 through 10 where you're always on 3. Why would you ever push it up to 10 and have the tsunami?
Yeah, but when you watch the video, the wave is like over the sides of the pool and the people that are watching from the sidelines are just getting pelted with the water. The water goes all the way back. It's terrible.
44 people were injured in the...
And, you know, actually, I've seen other wave pools. This was in China, right?
Yes.
I've seen other wave pools in China where literally you cannot move. They are so crowded.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah.
This one, I mean, it was crowded, yes, but not in comparison to some others that I have seen.
Well, when you watch it, you're just thinking people were just tossed about.
Oh, it's so scary.
Yeah, it's very freaky.
And whoever was doing that handheld, we were watching some video on, they just bailed on it. They said, okay, I'm out of here, and just started running.
Well, speaking of waves, there was another rogue wave, and I'm not going to be able to tell you where. I saw it on the news this week where it hit a beach.
Yep.
And the wave just washed over the entire beach, and umbrellas and chairs and people and everything else just went flying.
You know, I was actually doing some research on rogue waves the other day because I watched the movie Poseidon.
Yeah.
And that's the one where the rogue wave hits the cruise ship and the cruise ship gets flipped over. So then I'm thinking, well, I've been on a cruise. My cousins just got back from a cruise. Is this a real thing? Like, I didn't know. So I was looking it up, and they said the biggest one recorded was 120 feet.
Oh,
but they said that the chances of that happening and like flipping a cruise ship over is like very slim to none.
Well, because today all the cruise ships have stabilizers on them that keep them from tipping.
That's still going to do damage.
Well, they said that you might get the wave would hit the ship, but it's not going to flip the ship over. And they said that the wave would need to be like 150 feet in order to flip the cruise ship over. This is what I saw online, and I was looking at multiple places. Which, so
it would still be absolutely terrifying if you're going straight for an 80-foot wave.
Did you watch the original Poseidon Adventure?
Why do you think I would do that? Now, I just want you to know, I do not like old movies. I would not watch the old
Red Buttons.
Poseidon.
Who else was in that?
Shelley Winters in that?
Yeah, Gene Hackman. I can guarantee you it was better than the Poseidon one you watched.
Mm-mm.
Gabe.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you had something to say.
No, I do not.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen it?
No. Hold your breath, that whole movie.
Yeah. I know. It's so stressful. It really is.
And then in the end, the preacher. Did they use it? Was the one guy a preacher?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, boring.
No one cares.
Well, as much as I love the ocean, that is terrifying
Is terrifying to me
I'm
in general.
I'm so scared of the ocean.
I like to go maybe like 20 feet in, and that's...
I drown in California, so...
No, you didn't. You
several
didn't
times.
Listen.
Several times I was drowning in California.
And who saved you? A lifeguard?
No one. I had to fend for myself.
We got beached because her and my friend didn't listen to jump through the wave. And I was in the middle holding both of their hands. And I'm like, we got to jump. And they didn't jump. So we got tumbled.
I ended up topless, shriveled up on the beach.
Did you see there was just a man killed by getting slammed to the bottom? With a wave. He has a family of four children and a wife, and a wave took him and slammed him so hard to the bottom, and it broke his neck, and he was killed.
That wasn't you, because
you're sitting right there
pretty
talking.
Close.
Isn't it funny, though, how you really have to respect electricity, fire, and water?
True.
Yeah, you really
do.
The
amount of times I've heard you say that.
Good, it's soaking in.
Matthew had a fun beach day yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd that go out in Boston?
You know, we learned the lessons.
Why don't you give our listeners a little rundown?
So we Haley moved into her new apartment yesterday. We've been moving in and whatnot, building furniture, and she has a beach right across the street on the ocean. And so we invited a bunch of people over and said we're all going to go meet at the beach and take a break from moving, have some fun. And so we went over to the beach, and we were there for maybe an hour or so. And then we all had some White Claws and some beers and whatnot. There were 10 of us. We were, like, laying around. Weren't being crazy. Didn't have loud music or anything.
Mm-hmm. And everyone's of legal age, so that's not an issue.
Yeah, everyone's 22, 23. And all of a sudden, three state troopers come walking up on the beach.
Oof.
And they came in hot as far. They were like, do you know it's an arrestable offense to be consuming alcohol on this beach? And we're all like, honestly, no. Like, we just
moved in.
Beach, like, you have a beer on the beach, whatever. I mean, we weren't being crazy or anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they wrote us all tickets.
Wow.
It was, they came in, like, hot as far as they wanted to kind of put their foot down.
Yeah.
And then, like, halfway through, they had written a few tickets and whatnot. I think they sort of regretted giving us tickets because they realized that we're very respectful and, like, oh, we're very sorry. Like, no one's like, yeah, we'll throw our stuff away. We just didn't know. We literally moved in a day ago. But then they started being all friendly and joking around. They're like, yeah, you need to go get blitz before you come to the beach. Then, yeah. And he's like, well, find yourself a Gatorade bottle.
I did just watch a show called Northwoods Law, and I think it was in Maine, and the cops just went to the beach and they were citing people for that. But they said if it's in a cooler or we can't see it, then you're fine because there's no evidence of you having it, and we're not going to ask what's in your cooler.
Yeah, so we learned our lesson of be better at concealing it.
I have a question. When you were walking up to the beach, you didn't see any signs or anything that there was no alcohol or anything like that?
There was a sign, but it wasn't where we entered the beach. So
gotcha.
We didn't see the sign. But
well, lesson learned. But I did send you a recipe. Did you see that on Facebook? The watermelon?
No, I did not.
I tagged you. I think Haley just this morning saw it. But it was you take watermelon and slice it, and you soak it in tequila for 2 hours.
Oh.
And then you sprinkle the watermelon with coarse salt, and it tastes like a margarita, a strawberry margarita.
Oh,
you mean watermelon?
No.
A watermelon margarita.
Oh, yeah.
Margarita tastes like strawberry.
Yeah, I was kind of confused.
A watermelon. Yeah, you're correct. I don't know.
Very interesting.
It sounded kind of good, and they said you could take that anywhere, and no one would know.
So there you go.
Sounds like a way to ruin watermelon.
And what did I respond with, Matthew? And I don't really like watermelon, but this looks good.
I hate you.
I would say I don't really
like it. Not a big watermelon guy, but that looks good.
Right. See, that's my line. All right. I've got a couple things. Well, I'm sorry that you were ticketed. Maybe you can appeal. You'll be good to go. And,
yeah, they're like definitely appeal these. Yeah, for sure appeal the tickets.
Then
like,
why'd they even write them? Yeah. Oh, that's annoying.
I know.
We should, because we're always have our eye in the news, we should mention that it was a really sad day. We recorded this on August 4th, and Dayton and El Paso, there have been some gun rampages. There are some stats. Gunfire ripped through America in an unprecedented 24 hours, and there's a bleak milestone in a nation that has been a lot of gun violence. There have been 251 mass shootings in 2019. Now, a shooting spree early Sunday in the entertainment district in Dayton left at least 9 dead and 16 hurt. But here's an even darker statistic. It occurred on the 216th day of the year, meaning there have been more mass shootings than days so far this year. El Paso, 20 dead, 26 injured. We're not going to get into gun ownership and so forth. But our hearts go out to the families of these people that lost their lives, or the injured that are going to be thinking about this every time they're in a Walmart or every time they go anywhere. The archive categorizes mass shootings as incidents in which four or more people were shot and killed, not including the shooters. So far this year, more than 520 people have died in mass shootings and at least 2,000 injured. So
wow.
There's families that are hurting around the country, and our heart definitely goes out to those families. And you know what? I know there are people are messed up and there's mental illness, and I don't know what to do, but it's a really sad time that these get this much publicity and that these people are sick doing this.
I saw someone on Facebook reposted about one of the shooters, and they had it linked to takeaway guns. I think that's not productive, because don't they always talk about, like, don't let the shooter's name get all out?
Glorify the shooter.
Mm-hmm. And I get that people are, I don't get it, but don't want guns. But I think that them reposting, like, stuff about the shooter and all that information is not helpful. And it's, glorifying the shooter, and I don't like that at all. Mm-hmm. You can be for a cause whatever way you swing, but don't bring the shooter into it, because you're just posting his name everywhere. And
at that point, some of those people are trying to get, glorified, not praise, but recognition. Okay, two quick items, anniversary items. Yes. On this day, August 4th, 1944, this is a sad one. Acting on a tip from a Dutch informer, the Nazi Gestapo captured 15-year-old Jewish diarist Anne Frank and her family in a sealed-off area of Amsterdam, Netherlands, in a warehouse. She died less than a year later in the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp in Germany. Now, isn't it funny? Little did they know at that time how powerful her diary was going to be, and the household name. And I hope that guy, the Dutch informer, is burning in hell right now.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. And then on a positive note, today is National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. The classic cookie was invented by Ruth Graves Wakefield in 1938. She invented the recipe during the period when she owned the Toll House Inn in Whitman, Massachusetts. Back then, the Toll House Inn was a popular restaurant that featured home cooking. Created as an accompaniment to ice cream, the chocolate chip cookie quickly became the celebrated, that Betty Crocker featured it on her radio program. Okay, so there was a, here's two things we learned. There's a real Toll House for the Toll House cookies, and then there was a real Betty Crocker radio program. On March 20th, 1939, Wakefield gave Nestle the right to use her cookie recipe and the Toll House name for the price of...
Oh, God.
$1.
Oh, no. No, no.
And what year was that?
That was 1939.
Okay, you... That's right. She should know.
Idiot.
1939? I mean, come on. How about like $500? A dollar?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Lord.
Can you imagine her descendants going, and grandma gave it away for a buck.
I know time was different, money was different at that time, but I mean a dollar? Come on.
Yeah, that's no thanks on that. Don't ever let me give any of my great ideas away for a dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, guys?
Jeez.
All right, well, let's wrap this one up. Matthew, we'll let you go. Be good. Stay on the beach, but kick back, all right?
Yeah, all right.
All right, I love you. We'll talk to you later. Thanks, bro.
Love you too. See ya.
And our social media can be found at where?
Facebook, The Podcast Family. Instagram, The Podcast Family. Twitter, The Podcast Fam. Email us at thepodcastfamily@gmail.com.
We need some reviews. How are we doing? We doing good, bad, whatever? Let us know. Maybe any ideas you'd like covered for the podcast. You can send us certainly information and rating us, telling others about us. And if you'd like to be a sponsor, we'd love to chat with you. Rookies Family Table Talk. Thank you. Who wants the last word? Gabe's giving me the wrap-up sign. Conductor?